Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. Today's date is the 28th day of April 2010. Of course, my name is Darrell Bradford Smith. Great to have you all with me for another important broadcast, another investigative day here going on. We're going to have a conversation about social situations, relationships that people have in this world, especially on the internet, and other subjects, many of them. We're just going to go everywhere with my guest, my returning guest, John Kaminsky. He's been, actually, the first time John and I spoke was back when I was really trying to put this conspiracy together. I didn't come into this knowing all this stuff that I know now, but I am learning it, taking time, and I got to say to you, we got a lot of work to do here, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to save ourselves from this mess. So I'm going to bring John up right away. John, are you with me?
I am, Darrell. How you doing?
I'm all right. I got some stuff going on with my garden here and problems, you know, and it's gotten worse today. Got more plants sick. I don't know what the hell's going on. You said something about chemtrails. I don't know. You know, this is a disease that's well known here in the area. It's just it's not the it's not something that's mysterious, although it's really knocking the tar out of my plants. But anyway,
just the talking to Sophia discussing this subject before, there's a lot of blight and moles in the U.S. that are of a suspicious nature, and the timing of them seems to connect them to these government programs to put chemicals in the sky all across the world. I mean, these reports come from everywhere. Even Singapore, where I have a sister. And we have no explanation from the government about them. It's a total whitewash.
Well, let me tell you, John, you know, one day everything flowered, they looked beautiful, my peaches, pears, nectarines, my blueberry trees, everything looked wonderful. And then within 2 or 3 days, all the leaves were ulcerated and fallen off, and the whole tree looked on its last leg, all the trees, and I was gobsmacked. I said, what the heck is going on here? I mean, and I went up to my neighbor, and he knew right away the disease it was, but it came, and I had the same thing killed a couple of trees last year, but this year it's awful. I'm not going to get any a fruit harvest here.
Well, there's many indications and manifestations of this going on. I think it's certainly clear in our minds that there's some sort of man-made interference going on in the atmosphere that is producing a lot of bizarre symptoms in people and a lot of dire consequences on the whole planet. And is it a murder plot? It looks that way. It looks like a 360 degree murder plot at this point.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. I mean, I've been a cigar smoker for donkey's years, and you know, I got to be honest with you. I never had asthma, and I never had bad allergies. I just never did. Over the last couple of years, both of those things, I've had pneumonia three times. I've had pneumonia, absolute, you know, life-stopping pneumonia three times, on all kinds of medication to help me stay alive for the better part of all those bouts, and now I've got asthma and all kinds of things, and the doctor's like, there's an epidemic in France of asthma, and they're painting the skies over here. You could play checkers on the sky. I mean, it's just really awful. In fact, it's as bad or worse than I've ever seen photographs of anywhere. So they're really knocking the tar out of us. But Al, what are they doing in Florida? Same stuff?
The primary thing I've noticed is the shortening of the season. I have been walking the same path between the Gulf of Mexico and the Intracoastal Waterway for like 13 years.
Yeah.
And the last two summers, it hasn't fully grown out, because when you walk in the spring, there are all these beautiful paths that are open, and then as summer progresses, they grow over to the point where you can't walk on some of them after a certain date.
Yep.
The last 2 years, that did not happen.
Yep.
So it seemed like an incomplete cycle to me.
Well, I got the same experience. My wife and I, we have country lanes over here where the farmers go to their fields, and they're like tunnels because on both sides of these lanes are oak trees. And the growth, it seems like you're almost in a tunnel surrounded by green. That hasn't happened in 2 years here. And we're not getting, we're experiencing a drought in one of the rainiest regions of France. So I don't know what to make of it all. I mean, we're already early spring and people are having to water their plants. And I mean, that never takes place here. I don't know what's going on.
There's so much they've gotten away with over time. I mean, we've tried to chronicle it, you know, with between Waco and Oklahoma City and all the other stuff that has gone on that they've gotten away with. So there's no reason why they wouldn't become more and more blatant about what they're doing, although we can't seem to really figure out what they're doing until it's really too late to do anything about it.
That's what it seemed like to me, too.
All of these food additives and seed scandals and things going on, these are all meant to be bad for everyone. And yet, we have this meaty situation now where, I mean, talk about Nietzsche's inversion of values. First of all, we got the triumph of the poor and downtrodden as somehow noble, and we should work to protect those people, which was the beginning of socialism and how everybody's money got stolen. But beyond that, there has been such a poisoning of the culture
that it's
accelerating.
Yeah.
The lies are getting stupider, people are getting less attentive. There's a really comatose aspect to people in America now. They desperately seek to get away from reality because reality is so negative.
That's happening here too, and a lot of what's happening to my communities around here are farmers are going bankrupt. And their family structures deteriorating because the husbands are losing their farm, families are losing their farms. There's been a tripling of the suicide rate in my area in the last 3 years. I mean, I know of two families whose husbands have killed themselves here. This is just awful. And you know, that's been happening for some time as the pressures in India have come up. So, I mean, this is a global experience.
Yeah.
And I talked to a couple of weeks ago about the financial system. Of course, that leads us into these nightmares. And if you go back and then pull the strings of money, you find out what they're doing. When this implosion happened, when this implosion was designed, what the first thing that took place was that a lot of farmers couldn't get money to plant their crops. They always retain some of the cash they earned from the year before, but they also need about 40% borrowing to get the rest of their fields up and running. Well, they stopped lending to these people, and so they had to leave 40% of their fields fallow, which meant they didn't have any money for the following year to plant, and that's the year we're in now. We're in that year where they don't have any money to put food in the ground. We're looking at a lot of farmers going bankrupt. A lot of them can't plant their fields. They don't have any money. This is happening throughout France and throughout America.
You know what jumped out at me when you said that was Eustace Mullins' description of the fourth 1921 agricultural depression, where the banks were able to make their really first giant inroads into the buying of large tracts of American land and starting everyone on the road to corporate farming. In 1921, it's the same formula that they're using now. It's with the boom and bust cycle. It's what they always do. It's the same formula. It's so important for people to see that they're doing the same thing over and over again. They did it in Russia. They did it in England. They did it in France.
Yep.
The same bunch. And you know what I was reading the other day, thanks to a tip from a reader named Mr. Sun, was David Astle's Babylonian Woe, which is a book that is on the Internet. It's an easy link. It's an easy read. And it talks about the international money power destabilizing ancient Greece, playing one city-state off against another. so that the same situation of a worldwide financial manipulation from behind the scenes was going on in the time of ancient Greece. It doesn't seem to be specifically Jewish at that point, is our source.
Well, we do know that the Hebrews, as they were called, the Judeans. Or the Pharisees, if you want to go into Bible speak.
They were
present in Greece.
So they were probably the money lenders there too. I don't know that, but it's the same formula of destabilization and destruction that leads to wars, profits, and the aliens who come into a country and precipitate all these things, then move on to another country and do the same formula.
In today's parlance, I would call it a Jewish plutocracy that migrates to a different host parasitically. And of course, Rothschild said back in 1994 he had selected India for his new country to host him his operations. And you've seen, there was a clear statement he made in a speech that he was earmarking his investment strategy for India. Now, and if you take a look at what's going on with India, they have been set alight as far as investment and growth, and much of what everybody thinks it's China that has been anointed here as the new host country. Take a look at the political machinations going on in the relationships going on between Israel and India, and you can see the ties.
They have always been tight. They've been tight for a long time. They're allies against the Muslims, it's penetrated, and it's a calf that's being fattened for plunder, because, I mean, it's been plundered once by Britain.
Well, and that was the Jews running that at the time.
That was the fifth column, yep.
Yep, absolutely, and they've just revisited their old infrastructure. You know, John, I've been following the money side of this along. That's really where I concentrate a lot of my time, because I know that the money leads us into the nightmares that we experience. You know, this is all about them using their financial control and prowess to run these scams on us. What I've seen, because it's, again, we're going to use the term plutocracy because it's apropos in the
sure.
description of these people, but it's also fascist, and it's also central control. So I said last night in a show I did with Mohammed Rafiq, you know, communism fits the bill perfectly for this as well, because it's all at the top. There's, you know, and you're divvied out. Now, one of the things they're doing is they're starting to collect together their food control, as they did in the Ukraine, where the Ukraine was producing all of this harvest, and nobody was permitted to eat any of it, so they had millions of people starving in the richest food growing region of Russia, but they were still producing, and that food was being used as a political weapon and a means to get foreign direct monies. And so they're doing the same thing again, and I have a sense that the next phase of this nonsense, and maybe you disagree with this, they're going to say, look, you know, you want food? There's going to be a die-off here, so let's get that out of the way right away, 30-40%, who knows. But the people left behind are going to have to line up for food, and they're going to have to go along with the agenda that comes along with that. And of course, that's exactly the same modus operandi used in the past.
Yeah, that's right. They haven't changed a thing.
No.
It varies from place to place depending on the conditions, but the techniques and the results are always the same. The kings are bought off initially.
That's right.
The kings are all stupid anyway. And it's like they're pampered, they're not prepared properly, and they're operating on the wrong, have always been operating on the wrong motives, most of them. And they are bought off into debt. I mean, France was the place that really happened.
Yep.
The entire culture is destroyed. The cultures of Russia, France, to a large extent, England, all of these countries, the cultures have been wiped out. They've been completely changed, starting with Cromwell.
That's right.
changed everything in every country, and that is because, as Frederick Tobin loves to point out, it's not them, it's those who bend to their pressure, but their pressure is irresistible.
Yeah.
Because they have locked up all of the choke points of society. They have the schools, they have the doctors, they have the lawyers. You know, and people, maybe it's better people don't realize how much control they do have, because it is 360 degrees. It's 360 degrees, and they control, you know, I'm paying the price for having been melodramatic in the past, because it sounds like I'm being melodramatic now, but they control every particle of information you've ever ingested. And so for us to try to figure out what's happening and what we should do about it becomes a very difficult process, particularly because of all of the big Jewish presence on the internet. It's funny how somebody will strike out in one direction and seem to make gains, but those gains are quickly blunted or sideswiped by the Jewish interpretation of them.
Yes, yes.
And people are led in the Alex Jones type direction.
Yeah.
And nothing ever comes of it. Like, probably the biggest latest fiasco was the treason conference that was held in Pennsylvania, run by John Gold, who was the guy who penetrated all the 9/11 skeptics group and gave them money in exchange for not talking about Israel.
Yeah.
So that attracted a lot of people to Pennsylvania, and it was the familiar names. You know, after 10 years of this stuff, and we see some of these names kicking around, we realize that they have been in this business all this time to participate in the obfuscation and continuing distraction of everyone with exotic 9/11 theories, rather than all mobilizing around the obvious fact that the central core of the organizers of the 9/11 crime were Jewish and Israeli bankers.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the people that recently, one of my allies had did some conference with, won't talk about Israel. His name is G. Edward Griffin. And G. Edward Griffin got a lot of his information, if you read his book, which I did, and then when you read Eustace Mullen's book, it's about an 80% ripoff of Eustace's work, except Eustace was much more pointed in who was doing it than G. Edward Griffin.
Eustace told me that Griffin made the $2 million that he should have made. From the sale of his book. And he made it, and this is, I don't know what the latest deal is on Eustace's works, there's all sorts of intrigues involved with it, but a number of principles in trying to get Eustace's attention in the last years of his life all had the same idea that Griffin used, which was to take that information and sanitize it down as much as you could, obscuring the obviously Jewish angles whenever you could. You couldn't do it completely, but you could really tone it down.
Yeah.
And that's what Griffin did. And that's what all these other people want to do. I don't want to say all of them, but I think most of them, that's what they want to do to Eustace's books, to make them more saleable so they can make money off the sale of those books.
And at the same time, do their master's bidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that's been going on lately, and I want you to really maybe have a take on this. Of course, you know, organized religion in all its forms has been a bane, I think, to human development from its beginning. Now, faith itself has been a helpful note in many ways, culturally at least. It's kept people from trying to kill each other in a faith sense, not in a necessarily religious one. And when you ever right. when you see religion getting involved, then people want to kill each other. But when you know when you're learning the ABCs of how to be a good person, The Christianity that I learned as a child told me don't steal from my neighbors, don't covet his wife, don't be an idiot, don't do rotten things. I mean, you know, act as though your grandma was watching you all the time. That's the kind of way I went forward. And now, I didn't all follow it, but at least I knew that when I wasn't following it, that I was making a mistake. Now,
religion has made a great contribution, and that is the main reason why, in that it was able to go into cultures that were killing each other and stop them from killing each other.
Well, that's right. Now, but see, now we've got these people out there, of course, we've got the church infiltrated. You know, we know that there are a whole host of crypto Jews involved in the Jesuit movement, although not all Jesuits are involved in that. I mean, I went to, you know, you remember old Prevost High School in New Fall River, Provost?
I do.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, the school that followed up that school I went to, and it was all boys Catholic school, and all my teachers were either brothers or they were scholastic Jesuits. And there were no girls in my school. I got a great education, and, you know, I wasn't the best student, but just from being in this environment of education, it was fantastic for learning. Today, you know, there's no priests are left at that school. It's now girls and guys. There's not a single priest left except the guy that runs the place. All the rest are lay teachers. The school's
Was that Bishop Feehan?
Bishop Conley.
Conley.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so, but my reason for telling you this is that we've got people out there attacking the Catholic Church, but I'm telling for this pedophile stuff, which, you know, pedophilia is a big problem in the church, but the person doing the attacking will not look into the way that this infiltration was done in the seminaries and who was propagating it, what stuff happened in the 60s to make that happen, and the subsequent pope, especially this one before we got now, Ratzinger, before Ratzinger, we had the dribbling pope. Whose mother was Jewish, and so what I'm saying is that he's attacking the church to destroy faith. Now, I'm not going to share my particular faith with anybody because I think it's a private issue, but I know somebody trying to kill faith when I see it, and I've been watching Rivero do this on steroids. And I'm saying to myself, what is going on? For about a month now, he's had almost every other, it's actually toning down now, but for about three, four weeks, every other story was about priests, pedophilia, priests, and lawsuits. And, I mean, it was very clear he wasn't going after pedophile priests, but to destroy Catholic faith.
Yeah, that's part of the destabilization template. That's what they do. They just automatically do that. In fact, I've been involved in a really boring email argument between World Changer and Arthur Topham, who runs a kind of a revisionist outfit up in Canada. And Arthur is a Christian, and World Changer is not. And it's like they're both focused in on what the real problem in the world is, and the one group that seems to be operating it, but they're beating each other to death over the finer points of theology, and it just really bothers me. There's a lot of this going on now, and it's making me crazy, of people who should be on the same team arguing with each other over the finer points of dogma, whatever it is, and letting the perps get away. So the Mossad wins that one too, because we're all arguing amongst ourselves over non-essential items and failing to see that our lives have been totally taken over by a predator class.
Yep.
which is entrenched in power and controls all the money in the world and is slowly exterminating us. Some of the results we see already, but because they've been able to get away with anything and everything, what they're going to do is going to be worse.
Well, there is a backlash. I got to be honest with you, John. There are some files and some things on my site that have had millions of downloads.
Yeah.
You know, the Rothschild timeline that was put together by myself.
That was,
yeah.
That was beautiful.
Well, it was actually it was researched by myself and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. That has had had millions of downloads worldwide. People have stolen it from my site and claimed that I don't have anything to do with it. And Andrew has said repeatedly that I was one of the most important elements to getting that whole thing put together. I was sending him books and stuff I'd read, and I was adding to his a knowledge base because he learned everything he knew in the first instance from me. And so I was the person also that posted it. And so I was a co-author of it. It was Anonymous Andy and Daryl Bradford Smith were the authors of that. Now, it's on Rents's site with my name gone. Of course, it's on everybody else's, but it's had millions of downloads. I really don't care, although when I don't get the link back to it, all the other books and stuff that I have out there that people could learn enormous amounts from are never seen.
Yeah.
They don't see the rest of it.
Rents has been in the middle of a lot of this, but there's been so much of that stuff on the internet, and Rents is of course notorious for operating on principles that none of the rest of us can figure out.
Well, then he puts up there, he's the most plagiarized site on the internet. It's the biggest.
That's very Jewish.
It is very Jewish, yeah. And well, and you know, his mom is the Sam Newhouse's number one editor, so I don't know.
Well. He has a very entertaining site, but he has a very dull group of columnists now. They're all those twisted apologists. They seem to be reaching to the cutting edge of what's happening, but they, you know, and it really comes down to the one issue. And Rents appears to delve in that one issue, but I think really the dividing line, and I don't know if I can say this on your show, it's nothing about Germany, but it's the Judaic dogma that affects every single Jew, and they are programmed to operate that way. And they're, you know, on a superficial level, they're sweet people. I've been asking myself the question, are they more dishonest than non-Jews? I know a lot of dishonest non-Jews. And I don't really know the answer to that, but as you said, the plutocracy, what the Jewish plutocracy has created since 1777 has cast this poison pall over the entire world. It has gummed up the works of every process and endeavor that humans can do, and there is a debility to it. There's some kind of hazard to it that results in the exploitation, if not something worse, of the non-Jews who might be unfortunate enough to be participating in the same process.
Well, there's a sociopathic nature to the learning. I wrote at the top of my site, and maybe you'll love this. I wrote, the brainwashing that Zionist Jews go through may be irreversible. So what then do we do with these people?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question I wrote at the top of the site. It's been there for a few months.
That's a real question.
I mean, there was a movie put out by Channel 4 over here called Defamation. It was done by a Jewish guy, and he went on a trip with these kids to Auschwitz. And they had these two Shin Bet minders went along with the kids, and they were 13, 14-year-old Israeli kids. Yeah. And they were telling these Israeli children that the Poles were going to break into their hotel room and throw them out windows, and that there were skinheads all over the streets of the cities of Poland, and that if they left the hotel, that they ran a good chance of being killed by the Poles. Now, I thought to myself, the first thing I thought was, this is child abuse. This is absolute child abuse. But then as it sunk in, what kind of psychological damage that kind of treatment can do to someone. And then I thought to myself, this is only what they got on this trip. What have they been getting regularly as a diet of nonsense in their home country about the rest of the world? How indoctrinated into sickness are these young children? And what kind of adults is this going to bring to us? It's going to bring a whole generation, a new generation of mad dog sociopathic lunatics.
And in, with the process of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, we've changed much of our, even the people who didn't go, but the same age bracket here in this country who is watching what is happening. We've changed the whole younger generation, or I say we've changed, they've changed the whole younger generation of Americans into kind of mad dogs.
Yeah.
Most people have latched on to the hating the Muslims thing, which was, you know, I mean, that was a public relations campaign.
Yep.
And it's horrifying to think when, how many people, I mean, we think we're preaching to the free peoples of the world, but there aren't too many out there, at least in my neighborhood. All of these people are beholden to what they hear on television, and they follow it slavishly.
Yeah, yeah. It's the American Idol mentality.
Yes, indeed.
And you know, when you take a look at what's happening globally, it's the same influence here in Europe as what's happening in America. This is certainly an international conspiracy. There's just no way that this is coming down on America. It's coming down on everyone. Because what I learned, John, in my studies here, was that this whole idea of globalism was really to bleed out the real economy out of Europe and America, so that when this economic failure, this financial failure, would lead to economic failure, and thereby causing all of these populations to go hat in hand to these plutocrats that are running our world, and there happen to be Zionist Jews at the very top, they will kowtow and do whatever it takes because survival's at risk. And there, of course, in the meantime, there's going to be a culling of the population at the same time, and it's going to usher in, at the demand of the people themselves, world government. They're going to ask for it.
Yeah, I can see that.
They're going to ask for it. And then here I am. I'm saying to myself, look, we have alternatives. You know, Ellen Brown, I didn't like the fact that originally Ellen was putting out some of her writings on Huffington Post, because that's just a rag, that thing. But she's actually moved on from them, and she's brought out some pretty interesting things. One of the things that I liked about Ellen's recent an article, I guess about 4 or 5 ago, she was talking about repeatedly about North Dakota's private bank that was set up
I was just thinking that before you said that, that's what popped into my mind.
Well, it protected their farming base, and it's and this is the only state in the country that is on track to do okay in this mess.
Right. Yep, that's right.
So we have solutions, John.
And there are other people taking over other banks too. This is, I got a letter from someone saying I should publicize this, but I definitely need to learn more about it. But this is not only in North Dakota now; it started in other places as well.
Were they trying to set up private the new
yes.
type? Well, you know, look, the state of North Dakota was very forward thinking, and nobody really, you know, the Zionists apparently didn't earmark them for a tight control because they were so inconsequential financially.
Right.
And you can't get cosmopolitan Jews to move out to Sioux Indian territory. So, but now looking at the model that they put together, it has actually been. It brings you back to the issuance of the currency in the early part of the United States before these people really stole that ability from us. And we can go back there. And you know, all these debts that everybody's worried about, the implosion of Greece, the implosion of Spain today, they downgraded Spain. It's going to go to junk status. Just say, no, we're not paying you, period, end of story, and get the hell out of my country. No.
It's going to have to be that way. In fact, Bruce Campbell's been talking about that for years. All of those debts have to be wiped out.
Well, Jubilee took place. That's one of the Christian values. Every 7 years.
Yeah, that would be okay. But we got to do something about retrieving the things that Israel has taken from us.
Yeah. Well, it's taken our morality. Now, how the hell do you get that back?
Well. There's going to have to be some kind of process that eventually correctly identifies them as a destabilizing influence in any society they're in.
and then each country is going to, or each whatever kind of structure we have by the time that happens, is going to have to decide for itself what to do with them. But they are no matter how progressive or how thoughtful or how philanthropic they may appear to be, they are congenitally unable to assimilate into any country. And it might not be congenital, it might just be behavioral, but this is drilled into them that they are a nation unto themselves, and that they are working with each other and against everyone else. Now, before they take over everything, assuming they haven't already, we have to realize that unless we want to be their slaves for the remainder of our existence, we have to prevent them from doing that. And how we're going to do that at this point, I have no clue.
Well, but you know something, John? Let's be honest here. Their ownership of things is only paper. They can have a title to whatever business or process or whatever they want. If we wake up, it's a pen stroke away from not being theirs anymore.
I agree with you on that, but the what is it? Boy, I've been looking for the proper process to getting people to wake up and realize that we have the power to do that.
Yeah.
But there's very few takers, Darryl. We could fit our group on a minibus.
Yeah, well, you know, but I mean, everything starts small, John. You remember me when I started out at RBN, I didn't have any following whatsoever, and now, you know, it's worked out to where I do have a strong base of thousands, and it's because the consistency's been there, and I mean, especially since I got rid of that that knucklehead out in Santa Barbara, that I've been able to be consistent about the things I say and how I say them, but I've also brought in verifiable historic referencing that has made it a slam dunk for anybody who spends the time. And so there are conscientious people out there who do read the books. I complain a lot that people don't read, but the people that come to the French Connection have read these books, many of the books. I see the numbers of the downloads, and while they haven't read them all, they've read a lot of them. And the truth is you don't need to read every one of the 40 books plus that I've got up there. All you need to do is read four or five of them and then look at the current conditions, and you are up to speed.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, John, you know, one of the things that I think is taking place here is that, you know, there were no questions being asked of Israel or Jewish power in this world 4 years ago. None. Zero. Now that is very different, and even on French and British television, they have had some very serious questions being asked about Israel's behavior. And I mean, and of course, give these Zionists enough rope, they'll hang themselves, because they can't keep themselves out of imbroglios that are going to destroy their credibility, because it's just part of their nature. And so if you just sit back, they're going to step in another pile. And they did it on that Christmas attack on Palestine. They're doing it still. And what's happening is each subsequent move they've made, they have had migrators away from their support. It's a one-directional migration. Nobody migrates back to Israeli support. Nobody migrates back to Jewish support. It's a single-directional flow. And if they don't get control of things soon, that flow is going to become a torrent, because there is a tipping point to people. I'm not being laughed at anymore for the things I used to tell people, John. I used to be people who'd look at me like I was a nut. Less and less, huh? Less and less.
That's true.
So, you know, you're in the community there. I mean, we both have done this on shoestrings. I mean, you and I both have put these things together and strung these truths together on a budget of nothing. But you know what? This is the only way to go forward with this fight, really.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no advertising on my website, and I don't sell stuff. I only put stuff up that I think is going to be useful to help educate people. And you know, and do interviews with people I think are going to help, and it has. It's done that. Now, what is it that you see happening in your own community? Are you seeing the stresses of this financial nightmare take effect in your neighborhoods?
I think the thing I see more than anything else is a kind of a coma when it comes to certain subjects. People will only talk about Israel with a kind of a laughter, a kind of a nervous laughter. Most of the time, geopolitics doesn't come up in my neighborhood. It's just the people aren't here. But there's a tremendous unease with everything. Nobody has a grip on their own future. I think that's the toughest part. The great thing about America used to be that you were certain of its democratic institutions and processes, and you thought that they would always continue. But you see with the, in the last 40 years, Daryl, there has been such a dumbing down of dialogue.
Mm.
And as to what's going on, and the things that they pull and get away with, they never could have gotten away with this in the 50s and 60s. None of this would have, you know, a lot of these things never would have happened because processes still work to a degree.
Yeah.
Even though they had their own scams going back then, but I mean, the torture at Guantanamo certainly wouldn't have flown, and you know, waterboarding and all the other stuff, and it's like, I don't know. It's
the
like,
bailing out of the banks is probably one of the biggest, most incredible blind spots I've ever seen in the world's public in my lifetime. They're watching their treasuries be bled out right before their eyes and handed over to people that are receiving bonuses in the billions. And there is not an outrage in the streets, John. It is a shocker beyond anything I've ever seen. That's probably the biggest scam that nobody pays attention to I've ever seen. I mean, that's even bigger in my view, because this is people's livelihoods watching them leak away, and it's happening on their front page.
Yep. And they're voting for the people who are doing it.
What mechanisms are at work to get people to do that, John?
Well, how smart have people always been? I mean, the vast majority of people have always been rather sluggish. I think of one of my favorite novelists is Thomas Hardy, and he writes about mid-19th century England. And I kind of identified with the main character, who was just kind of stumbling around, being buffeted by the winds of fate, and not really knowing anything about the processes that were governing his life.
Travels with Charlie is the same kind of book.
Yeah, it's like I'm a happy idiot wandering the highway, and I don't know what's really going on, but it's a great life. And I think most people are that way. Most people don't stop to think. I know when anytime somebody mentions a financial story to me, there's something in my brain that shuts down.
Really?
Yeah, I just can't do it. I'm not a math guy. And or maybe it's because I've been so frustrated with finances all my life that I don't want any more of the frustration that comes with dealing with it. But that's no way to do it either. You don't win that way, certainly.
Well, they've banked on the fact that people can't wrap their brain around the system that they've created. And in fact, the fact that they have been successful means that they were right in banking on it. They knew that people would have an aversion to understanding derivatives and credit default swaps and credit default obligations and all this stuff that's tearing us apart. And it's tearing us apart by design. There's just no question in my mind or anybody's mind that knows anything about money that this is all by design. And the fact is, yes, most people do gloss over. And I have big trouble trying to explain this in detail to people. You know, most people listen to a broadcast I do with Mohammed Rafiq, who's a specialist in finance. And, you know, I taught that subject some years ago as a profession. So for me, I know my from whence I speak. The interesting thing is many people have to listen to the file I do 3-4 times, and I think I'm dumbing it down.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean about that. I mean, there's no dumbing it down enough. People still come back and ask you, what happened to the planes?
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing, you know, you're dealing with on the internet here. You get all this. You don't know who actually is a shill or not, and if they're just pulling your chain. And half the time, I'm not really sure, because they have thrown every kind of clandestine, sneaky question on me. And most of the time now, I just put them in the circular file and don't even bother. because I don't want this to my work to be a one-directional type of situation, but basically, John, I know the story already, and so do you. Now, there are details that we could add to each element of this conspiracy to make it fuller, but there's certainly no question about the salient facts that need to be dispersed. We already know the story.
Right.
So the question then is, how do we get people to read it? Go ahead.
I've tried a lot of different tricks, I'll tell you that. And it's funny what people choose to read. I found that the biggest response I get to my pieces are ones that I don't put that much thought in and spin them out in about 45 minutes. Mm. And the ones like the one I'm working on now, which is taking me like 2 weeks, people are going to say, oh, what does this mean? And it's like, I don't know what to do except just to follow my own impulses, and whatever comes into my mind, I'm just going to do. I've kind of thrown up my hands in frustration about trying to get groups together and to try to connect people of like mind, because it almost always backfires. And people get hung up on the little things, and they don't see the big things. I'm not sure why that is. I don't know if there's one. There's probably a lot of different reasons for that, but it's just so frustrating. And then probably the most frustrating thing of all is to go along for about 10 years or so and then realize somebody that you had respected, well, kind of like you wound up feeling about Hufschmidt, where you go along for a long time and you think, oh, this guy's great at doing good things. And then somebody told me the other day that Carol Brulé, the one who put out those deception dollars,
that were
so cool, she's Jewish.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why she won't put anything about Israel on the deception dollars.
Yeah, that's right. And I knew that about 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, such a disappointment.
Well, I mean, the fact is it was always Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld kind of stuff. And I knew that was the old canard that was being bandied around. And I knew that this stuff went back to Jewish roots, to the Jerome Howers and the Ari Fleischers and stuff went back in the Bush era. But I mean, where we're at now, you know, the 9/11 deal is almost universally known to be a lie that they've told, and now the idea of Israel doing it. You've read the 9/11, all the proof in the world. I'm sure you've seen that out on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, that post went over on my friend Ogner's Info Underground. That's where it was first posted. And I put it on my site. It just said Israel did 9/11. And when I put it on my site, I put all the proof in the world on it. That's what I did. And so I put the moniker on that. I don't know why I added that. But anyway, it's had millions of downloads.
Yeah.
And it's been hived off all over the internet, and so more and more people are aware that Israel is responsible, at least in the nuts and bolts of the attack, and Huntley International, ICTS, and all the rest of it, and the Zim moving and all this stuff. I mean, it all comes back to Zionist Jewish control, Mossad participation, and criminal Jews in our government. That's where it goes to. Now, again, what I'd like to bring up now for a final conversation here is the non-Jews involved in their workings. They have a large group of Christian Zionists, as well as very wealthy non-Jews. There are, 7 out of 10 billionaires are Jewish, but still the 3 out of 10 aren't. And you're not a billionaire in this world unless you participated in crime. End of story. I don't care what anybody tells me. I'll never believe you could become a billionaire unless you steal. So the fact is, how do we explain the participation of the non-Jews in this conspiracy?
With the basic categories, you start with bribery, blackmail, and murder, and you pay off the rest. I mean, it's how much would it take to get you to shut up? Well, not you, but a lot of people have a price. I used to say all people have a price, but I've met enough great people to know that they all don't. But most people do, and if you don't have a price, then they'll make sure you accept the price by doing something nasty to either yourself or someone that you love. You know the formula.
Well, you know, as long as nobody's putting vice grips on my marbles, I would fight them, you know. But, I mean, if that happens, then I might just say anything they want me to. I mean, you know.
Yeah, really, don't torture me, Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know.
I don't want to be waterboarded.
I don't want to be any boarded. But the fact is, that may happen to each and every one of us. Here's the thing. They got this bloody FEMA system, and I know, you know, I've been reading Rex 89 and all this other stuff. This is real. Now, how much of it is blown out of proportion for, you know, for consumption of the knuckleheaded masses, and how much of it is actual, I don't know. One thing I do know is they rely on deception to expand their influence. They don't have the numbers to have the influence needed to complete their conspiracies. So they have to use deception to make people walk around in fear and not participate. And I think the only reason why they haven't already been thrown out is because of that factor, that people are too afraid, so the participation level stays low.
That sounds right, yeah.
And they just don't have the numbers on the ground, essentially. And many of them don't want to get their hands dirty. So, you know, but it's worked so far. I'm wondering if you think Americans will shoot fire on each other if they're ordered to by this Zionist-controlled government.
There's no question about it. They will, and it's going to be the Wild West, because this is the Wild West.
I knew you were going to say that. I mean, you know, you watch gun sales, John, and ammunition sales.
They're way up.
Way up.
Oh, my God. They're off the charts. They're being sold everywhere.
Well, I mean, and you know, if you've got a friend in the police department, if you've got a chief of police, a friend up in Massachusetts, he'll give you he'll give you a carry permit.
Yep, no problem.
And I was just looking at the crime rate of New Bedford and Fall River, and they've had Jesus, they've had a doubling of the murder rate in the last 2 years, and the armed robbery rate has gone so high they don't even know what to do anymore.
Which particular minority did they ship in there?
Oh, they just shut the social welfare tap off on the Fall Riverites and turned them all into a bunch of mad dogs.
Oh.
You know, Fall River's always had a 15% unemployment rate. Now in this downturn, it's just like it's Detroit number two, you know?
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a mess. I you know, I don't know. But New Bedford, Fall River, Providence, Providence is one of the cities worst hit in this mess. And it's a shoot-em-up factory now. You know, there's murder on the streets. And, Christ, I don't know where it's going to all end, but... have you been seeing homelessness rise in your area, or are you noticing that people are you came from more stable neighborhood? It wasn't like new construction housing where you live, right?
I had a brief foray into the new construction housing, but no, I live in an older neighborhood.
So you've got a more stable populace, but if you go outside your area to where they did some building up, a lot of foreclosures.
Oh my God! It's like 50%. It's although there is my sister's in real estate, so there is a they're still selling at lesser prices. There's an endless influx of people into Florida in any conditions, and so she is managing to sell houses at lesser prices after a couple of years of dealing with short sales and not having many sales and. It has come back at a lower level here to almost normal turnover, but a lot of the big condo projects are either half finished, abandoned, or completed but without buyers, and many of them have already gone through bankruptcy and changed hands.
$100,000 buy a nice place where you're at?
No, you need more than that.
With cash, really?
With cash. You can buy houses for probably 79 in some of the lesser areas here, but you still got it. There was a condo sold at the place I work that normally goes for just under 400 that went for about 190.
Wow. Must have been a nice place too, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you know, John, I mean, the French have never took on this credit crazy attitude. They always, you know, they got a 15% savings rate, the French.
You've got more family continuity there.
That's right. Sunday's still a family day for eating. And so, I mean, people, there's no work on most people now. Sarkozy has changed that. Now he can work on Sunday. So now he's starting to really undermine the family. That was really the beginning of the end in America. You remember going down the streets of Massachusetts in the early 60s, where there was a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker, and little stores everywhere, and suddenly...
Oh, yeah, I used to go to them as a kid.
Yeah, the candy store was here, and then the butcher was next door. And Sundays, nothing was open. And when you went up the street, you couldn't buy bread because that was it's a Catholic area, and you couldn't buy bread because the host and the rest of it. And Sunday was a day off.
Yeah.
Well, that's, now it's Sunday. They worship the Lord of the credit card, which now that's gone bust on them. So what are people doing on Sundays, John?
Ooh, good question, Daryl.
Don't have any money to spend. What are they doing on Sundays?
Geez, that's a good question. I can go in a million directions with that question. I remember it as being a very nice way of life, but everything has been corporatized and money won the day, and they gave us driving to Walmart parking lots and getting everything in one place rather than going to all these different stores and employing all these people.
That's right. That's right. And family businesses were not... I mean, and then they started the urban renewal project. You could still walk down the streets of Providence or Attleboro or Taunton even and see where these old storefronts used to be.
Yeah.
And it's a bygone era. I mean, my family, my granddad had a little store. That's what he did. He was a little butcher shop is what he had. And this is all gone, but France still has that.
We lived in probably the best time that has ever been to live on Earth, the easiest time, the most comfortable time. And on our watch, we have really done a disservice to all of the people who have come before us by letting things get as far out of hand as they are.
Well, I kind of blame my parents' generation as much, though, because after the war, I mean, they lived in a fog bank. I mean, they just couldn't put the two and two together with this stuff. Now, and you could see evidence of that with the McCarthy hearings and the rest of it. I mean, there were indications that this stuff was happening, and they didn't react properly to Vietnam. I can remember my parents supporting Vietnam, even though all of the horrendous truth was coming out on their television screen. They still supported it.
Yep.
Now, how troubled in your thinking do you have to be to see?
I was just reading about that. Allegiance to the king.
That's right.
You throw in your lot with the king because he gives you a better life. And if he happens to do something bad, as long as it doesn't impact you too badly, you readily forgive it because he's given you such a good life. And this is an attitude that has come down through history, and it's why people embed themselves in cultures. It makes them feel really safe. It gives meaning and structure to their lives. And this is a part of who they are. So if some untoward fact, like the Gulf of Tonkin or a My Lai or one of those things, comes out, they're able to look the other way and say, life's not perfect. We have a good life here. It's not perfect. But
that's not true anymore, John. And Americans are the least confident in their government that they've ever been. They hate their Congress. They got 17% approval rate, and I think that's high. And so basically, what is that being replaced by? What are we seeing as a replacement to that belief system?
We're seeing that being replaced by
fear.
We're going to be given these two choices, and both of them have been chosen by the banks, and we can do is pick the lesser of two evils, and of course when we do that we still get evil.
Yeah. Well, last thing I want to touch on, John, I have one question for you. Have you been following this birther movement? The people writing about it, I don't trust for nothing. This Dr. Ort or whatever, and she's Jewish, and she's a sack of nonsense. It seems to me, somebody wrote that the Obama family has had several different Social Security numbers, that both of the Barack Hussein Obama and his wife have both had different numbers in their lifetime, and they've got records of this. Have you ever heard anything of this?
No, not really, but I have no doubt that Obama is essentially a fictional character. He's a real person, but he's been constructed by these people who wanted him to be exactly where he is.
Yep.
And he's in a way like Bush. He's just like Bush in that he's not anything but a conduit for the orders that he receives from the people who are running him.
I agree.
And that's a barrier, just such a barrier, because the media won't go beyond that barrier. It's such a barrier to seeing what's really happening, because we get all tied up in these arguments about health insurance, which, I don't know, we had a lot of arguments when Hillary Clinton was trying to get her health insurance thing through, and it's the same thing. It's not of benefit to anyone except the people who are making the same amounts of money. It's worse insurance than most people have, and the people who don't have insurance because they can't afford it won't be able to afford this insurance either, no matter what kind of penalty you put on them.
Well, I can tell you that's true here. We got a 65% tax rate in France. That means you live on 35%, but then you can go to a doctor for $22, and he'll spend a half an hour with you. I don't know. John, I'm going to give you the last word here. We've reached the hour, and I'll give you the last word. I'm really glad you did this with me. I hadn't seen a lot of posts from you in a few weeks, and I was a little concerned. You know, I called yesterday and said, "Whoa, where you been, and what's up?"
Well, I tackled a complex subject, and it's almost done. It should be out today, as far as my next story goes. But I am hanging by a thread, like everyone else.
Yep.
As the shadow of Armageddon gets larger every day.
It does.
And I don't know whether this is to scare us into becoming more docile consumers or whether something bad is really going to happen, but something bad has already happened.
Yeah.
And that is, we have lost faith in our fellows to lead us. And the whole world is suffering from this Jewish destabilization plan to shake down everybody and take all the money for themselves, and I don't like it.
No. Well, I agree with everything you just said 100%, and I'm out there working every day to try to tell everybody how they're doing it so that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that it's being done to them. You know, everybody can feel the penetration, but they don't know what's being stuck in their ear. John, you know, I appreciate it. As always, my friend, you know, we're a very interesting hour. This is going to go out over my airwaves tonight, and I want to thank you once again, my friend.
Thank you, Darrell. I'll keep it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's John Kaminsky. Of course, John Kaminsky has his own website. John Kaminsky, is it .net? John, give your number, give your email. Your website address.
.info.
.info. John Kaminsky. .info. And you can go to John's site. You can listen to this on my site. And until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care of your families. Lots of stuff happening in the world. Keep your eye on the pulse of the world. Your fingers on the pulse and your eyes on the headlines at the French Connection. And until the next time, it's Darrell Bradford Smith telling you all, please, be well. Bye-bye now.